जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत मध्यलीला चैप्टर 23 टेक्स्ट 105 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद युक्त वैराग्य स्थिति शब शिखायल शुष्क वैराग्य ज्ञान शब निषेधिल युक्त वैराग्य स्थिति शब शिखायल शुष्क वैराग्य ज्ञान शब निषेधिल युक्त वैराग्य स्थिति शब शिखायल शुष्क वैराग्य ज्ञान शब निषेधिल Okay, someone else chant. Juktai bairagya shtiti shab shikhailo. Shushka bairagya gyan shab nishedhilo. Juktai bairagya shtiti shab shikhailo. Shushka vairagya gyan shab nishedhilo. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told Sanatana Goswami about proper renunciation according to a particular situation, and the Lord forbade dry renunciation and speculative knowledge in all respects. Purport, this is the technique for understanding Shushka Vairagya and Yukta Vairagya. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Yukta Ahara Viharasya Yukta Cheshtasya Karamasu Yukta Svapnava Bodhasya Yoga Bhavati Dukaha. He who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. To broadcast the cult of Krishna consciousness, one has to learn the possibility of renunciation in terms of country, time, and candidate. A candidate for Krishna consciousness in the Western countries should be taught about the renunciation of material existence. But one would teach candidates from a country like India in a different way. The teacher, Acharya, has to consider time, candidate, and country. He must avoid the principle of niyamagraha, that is, he should not try to perform the impossible. What is possible in one country may not be possible in another. The acharya's duty is to accept the essence of devotional service. There may be a little change here and there as far as yukta vairagya, proper renunciation, is concerned. Dry renunciation is forbidden by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we have also learned this from our spiritual master, His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj. The essence of devotional service must be taken into consideration and not the outward paraphernalia. Sanatana Goswami wrote his Vaishnava Smriti, Hari Bhakti Vilas, which was specifically meant for India. In those days, India was more or less following the principle of Smarta Vidhi. Srila Sanatana Goswami had to keep pace with this, and his Hari Bhakti Vilas was compiled with this in mind. According to Smarta Brahmanas, a person not born in a Brahmana family could not be elevated to the position of a Brahmana. Sanatana Goswami, however, says in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that anyone can be elevated to the position of a Brahmana by the process of initiation. Yatha kanchanatam yati kangsyang rasa vidhanataha tatha diksha vidhanena dvijatvang jayate nunam. As bell metal is turned into gold when mixed with mercury in an alchemical process, so one who is properly trained and initiated by a bona fide spiritual master immediately becomes a Brahmana. There is a difference between the Smarta process and the Goswami process. According to the smarta process, one cannot be accepted as a Brahmana unless he is born in a Brahmana family. According to the Goswami process, the Hari Bhakti Vilas and the Narada Pancharatra, anyone can become a Brahmana if he is properly initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. This is also the verdict of Shukdev Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam. Kirata Hurnandra Pulinda Pulkarsha Abhira Shumbha Yavana Kasadayaha Yene Chapapa Yadapa Shraya Shraya Shudhyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. Kiratas, Huns, Andras. Pulindas, Pulkashas, Abhiras, Shumbas, Yavanas, and members of the Kasa races, and even others who are addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter. Of the devotees of the Lord, due to his being the supreme power, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. A Vaishnava is immediately purified, provided he follows the rules and regulations of his bona fide spiritual master. It is not necessary that the rules and regulations followed in India be exactly the same as those in Europe, America, and other Western countries. Simply imitating without effect is called niyamagraha. Not following the regulated principles, but instead living extravagantly is also called niyamagraha. The word niyam means regulated principles, and agraha means eagerness. The word agraha means not to accept. We should not follow regulated principles without an effect, nor should we fail to accept the regulated principles. What is required is a special technique according to country, time, and candidate. Without the sanction of the spiritual master, we should not try to imitate. This principle is recommended here. Shushka vairagya gyan shab nished hila. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's liberal demonstration of the bhakti cult. We should not introduce anything whimsically without the sanction of the bona fide spiritual master. In this connection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur comments on these points by quoting two verses by Sri Rupa Goswami. It's from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anasaktasya vishayan yataham upayunjataha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya muchyate prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastunaha mumukshubi parityago vairagyam falgu katyate. When one is not attached to anything but at the same time accepts everything in relation to Krishna, one is rightly situated above possessiveness. On the other hand, one who rejects everything without knowledge of its relationship to Krishna is not as complete in his renunciation. To preach the bhakti cult, one should seriously consider these verses. Concluding this fairly lengthy and very analytical purport, Srila Prabhupada states, to preach the bhakti cult, one should seriously consider these verses, the verses which I just quoted about yukta vairagya and falgu vairagya, which corresponds to shushka vairagya, which is mentioned by the verse in the verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita that we have read. So yesterday we were seriously considering, and we can continue today to seriously consider these verses for the sake of preaching and practicing Krishna consciousness. Some points here. Here's a very important point. A Vaishnava is immediately purified provided he follows the rules and regulations of his bona fide spiritual master. So, the rules and regulations, Prabhupada stresses so much. If we don't follow, then we're going nowhere. We like to think everyone's a devotee, and yeah, anyone who chants holy names of Krishna with some spirit of devotion, they must be considered a devotee of sorts. But the purification won't actually work unless one follows the rules and regulations properly. Now, regarding rules and regulations, the Vedic culture is one of many rules and regulations. Rules and regulations govern every aspect of life, from conception to after death. And after death, you may think, oh, that refers to the cremation or burial ceremony. But even after that, with the offering to the forefathers, and it governs every aspect of life from throughout the day and night, all kinds of things, which direction we should sleep in, which direction we should eat in, urinate in, so many details. We're going to make a residence, we have to see what's the suitable place, not just from the construction point of view, but there are so many factors for the auspiciousness or inauspiciousness. Time, place, and circumstance, desh kala patra, these all have to be considered. Now, that this time, place, and circumstance in Vedic culture, it has a much deeper import than probably most of our devotees realize, because time, sometimes are auspicious and some are inauspicious. The time during an eclipse is inauspicious. Or things that may be auspicious for some things and inauspicious for other things. Too, we find in the Bhagavatam, Nanda Maharaj rose very early and bathed. But the bathing, it was the wrong time. It was too early. It was inauspicious to do so at that time. And place, what place is auspicious? Well, it depends what you're thinking about, but generally, any place close to a sadhu is auspicious. but then the broader consideration, one should not reside in a place where there's no river, or preferably a river, at least there should be some body of water. There should be a good, strong, pious king. There should be good brahmanas guiding the society. So in place also, if you're going to perform a yajna, the place should be purified. And the situation, yeah, we have to see. Actually, patra means in this, deshkala patra means the individual candidates or the individual person. So we have to see a person. Generally, kirat, huna, andra, pulinda, pulkash, they're all considered very inauspicious. But if they become devotees, then they become very auspicious. So time, place, and circumstance, what we should do. This yukta vairagya means to follow rules, but we have to know how to follow them according to time, place, and circumstance. And the preaching of Krishna consciousness is so important that many minor rules can be flouted for the sake of preaching Krishna consciousness. For instance, if Srila Prabhupada thought that it's against Shastric injunction to cross the ocean, then we wouldn't have a worldwide Krishna consciousness movement. And as a matter of fact, if Krishna consciousness is going to be spread all over the world, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has predicted, then it is required to cross the ocean. So sometimes rules are in conflict with each other. That's the whole dilemma that Arjuna faced. I, as a Kshatriya, I have to fight in this battle. It's my duty to fight. But as a student of Drona and a junior who was brought up by Bhishma from childhood, I have a duty to not attack them even verbally, what to speak of with arrows. So the two duties were conflicting. How to apply all this, how to understand which is most important, which, because sometimes you may say, well, make a compromise. It's not black and white, it's gray. So what do? You fight with, you shoot toy arrows at Bhishma. What do? You get to go to the children's toy store and buy a toy bows and arrows and start trying to, and that's ridiculous. Or you shoot, but you deliberately miss. Well, Bhishma wouldn't approve of that. He would say, what's going on? What's wrong with you today? So either you fight or you don't fight. If you fight, you have to do it fully, because there's not half-hearted fighting won't last very long. You'll be killed very quickly. So either you do it or you don't do it. There's no gray area. We may try to What is that? Stephen Covey, win-win situation. But it's not like that in the material world most of the time. And if we understand what is the overall situation of the material world, it's all lose-lose anyway, however much you may think you're win-winning. These principles have to be understood. Here, Srila Prabhupada mentions that persons in the Western countries, we can't expect them. Oh, he says it's not necessary that the rules and regulations followed in India be exactly the same as those in Europe, America, and other Western countries. If we can get people in the Western countries to chant Hare Krishna, that's a great benefit for them. To try to introduce them to so many sub-rules, it may be very difficult to do so. And it may turn them off also. If you say that, all right, you want to come in our temple, well, first of all, you have to take a bath before you come in the temple because you're a filthy meat eater. Actually, in our temple in Salem, in South India, right next to it is a colony of Hindus who are extremely low class, much lower than Shudras. We think that Shudras are the lowest, but actually there's lower than Shudras. Actually, most of the population of large parts of Bangladesh, they're called Nama Shudras, which means lower than Shudras. But actually, by culture, they're doing quite good. But this community next to our temple in Salem, they're not just meat eaters, they're beef eaters. There are Hindus who eat beef. I don't know when and how that's... Well, what it is, beef eating was allowed, but not killing cows wasn't allowed. That means when the cow dies, you can take and eat the beef. So they won't come to the temple because they think they're not fit to come. There was a whole movement by Mahatma Gandhi, wasn't the only one, but he became most famous for what he called the Harijans. And now that term is lost, and now they're called that. They like the term Dalit, the oppressed people. So he made a whole campaign for the Harijans to enter the temples, but they don't even want to. And the kind of time, even up to the present day, we have temples like Tirupati and Sri Rangam, Vishnu temples, and it's mostly the caste people who enter, not the subcaste people, because they have their own temples. They worship gods for killing animals and this and that. So they won't even enter. They won't even enter the temple. They think they're too we're too sinful, or they think that it's very because we eat meat. It's very inauspicious for us to enter this temple. So they're afraid they'll get some reaction or something like that, or they feel whatever. They may not even have. They just think anyway, our caste doesn't go to this kind of temple. So in the Western countries, if we say that, you can't come into the temple. You don't eat meat for 3 days, and then you can enter. Then we're going to be losing a lot of preaching, isn't it? It's not very practical for preaching. And even when people take to Krishna consciousness, there are so many rules of For deity worship, Srila Prabhupada was introduced Gaur-Nitai worship. Jagannath worship. He said Jagannath worship is very suitable for the Western countries because in Orissa, in Puri, the priests, they eat fish. So, and Jagannath still accepts their worship. Here he is again, our old friend. He comes here and smokes a fag every day. Seems to be his daily routine. Sadhana, yeah. So, so Prabhupada said he still accepts their worship. So in the Western countries, the worship of Jagannath is very suitable for the Western people who don't know the rules and regulations. And Srila Prabhupada, he introduced that worship of Jagannath, first of all, in San Francisco, and the arati was, there was no dressing the deities. There was no shringar. There was no, shringar means decoration. There was no puja. Only there was arati. The plate, one plate, like eating steel plate. This system is, you'll find in some places, and in, still in a lot of North India they do this. They take a plate, they put a ghee wick, light it, and then one person goes round and round and round like this, and then they give it to someone else who does it. And that was the deity worship. Oh, and offering the food, that was all. Later, Srila Prabhupada introduced so many rules. Later, he wanted it standardized. What happened in London, they were the first big Radha Krishna deities in ISKCON, Radha Landanishra. So Srila Prabhupada taught Yamuna Devi Dasi how to worship the deities. And he told her, you just do like this, whatever I've shown you, and you'll go back to Godhead. And it was very simple. But later, after he installed the deities of Rukmini Dwarkadish in Los Angeles, he gave much more stringent standards, and he had devotees come from all over North America to learn the standards, and he wanted it standardized like that, according to the level in Los Angeles. So he wanted to raise the level, and that caused some discomfort in London, because what happened, Yamuna had already gone on to India, and Mandakini, who was trained by her, was worshipping Radha Landanishwar in London. And then devotees came and said, no, Prabhupada said you have to do like this. She said, well, Yamuna told me that Prabhupada told her to do like that. And so but then she changed and said, okay, all right, we'll do. We'll do what Prabhupada said for Los Angeles, like this. So many rules and regulations. There are many what we may call minor rules. And there is a statement in Hari Bhakti Vilas, which I don't remember the Sanskrit for, but its statement is that one who follows all the rules and regulations is a Vaishnava, and those who don't, they're not Vaishnavas. And it's referring to all the minor rules. Regarding Hari Bhakti Vilas, I don't think anyone ever followed all the rules, including Sanatana Goswami and Gopal Bhatt. No one followed all the rules in there, because there are different rules, actually, even conflicting, you can say. So it was almost like a compendium of all different rules, and then the individual gurus have to say how to, for their individual disciples, how to follow it. But even in the Gauriya Mutt, when Bon Maharaj, who was from an orthodox Brahmin family, joined, he was shocked when he joined to see that they were eating the leftover rice from the previous night, Pantabat, it's called in Bengali. You soak it in water and you drink it the next morning, which is completely forbidden for Brahmins. And they were doing it, which is in Bengali villages, and that's a normal thing. Wait, that's supposed to be very good for digestion and everything. It ferments a bit overnight. But Brahmins don't even eat in the morning, strict Brahmins. Because they have so many things. Before they can eat, they have so many things to do that they don't even take until 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. They have yagyas and pujas and so many things they have to do. The Sandhya Vandanam itself takes time, especially if you have to walk to the river. And then you do your Sandhya Vandanam. We just chant Gayatri, 5 minutes, it's over. They have so many things to do for the Sandhya Vandanam. The Sandhya Vandanam means the prayers offered or procedures followed 3 times a day, of which chanting Gayatri mantra is central. If I was speaking in India, I wouldn't say this because we hope that people would know, but maybe nowadays they wouldn't know. Because people know about Mickey Mouse, but they don't know about Bhagavad Gita. This is India today. The magazine for the intellectual class in India, India Today. Whatever is India is today, it's worse than yesterday. That's for sure. Going downhill as fast as they can. They're trying hard. So to introduce all these rules and regulations in the Western countries may not be possible because it may turn people off. Just if they have to follow all this, then it's too much, can't do it. And generally in religions, the tendency is to try to water everything down. Just like in the Catholic Church, they used to have so many things. You had to learn the Latin, Mass, with one section was in Greek, Kyrie eleison, and the rest was in Latin. But now you have it in your own language, so it's easy to follow. But it's not easy if you're Croatian and you go to, I don't know, Kenya or somewhere, and then, well, that they speak English. Well, maybe they have a Swahili. Bantu. Hungary. They have it. Yeah, it's next door country in Hungary. And they have it in Hungarian, and you're lost, right? Croatians may go on holiday to Hungary. They don't go on holiday to Hungary. No. But okay, theoretically speaking, and they're good Croatians, so they go to Mass on Sunday and it's all in Hungarian and they're completely lost. So, and there used to be things that the men would stand on one side and the women on the other side. The women would cover their heads, actually not only in church, but they would cover their heads in everywhere outside the home. So there's so many rules. Nowadays people don't want to follow. Though interestingly, the religious movements or churches that have more rules, they are gaining more followers. And the ones that are giving up all the rules, they're losing their followers. Because the ones that are losing the rules, the ones that don't have many rules, people think, well, it's not very serious. And if there are rules, they think it's very serious. That's why, according to my observation, in post-Christian Europe, as the phrase goes, most of Europe is, in most of the countries of Western Europe at least, majority of the population do not consider themselves Christian. Muslims are respected because they follow rules and they believe in it. They actually believe in what they're doing. So we have to see how to institute this. On the other hand, if we're going to have deity worship, then rules should be there. And actually there are many rules. For instance, if you touch your mouth, then you become contaminated. You have to wash it. Otherwise, then you're going to be touching your bead bag, the Bhagavad Gita, the doorknob, which will contaminate the doorknob. You're going to worship the deities, you have to know all these things. You may think, well, that's a small thing. What does it matter? So, all right, I've got something stuck in my tongue. Okay, take it out. But then you have to wash your hand. Or you may have the habit of just putting the hand on the mouth or in the mouth. And in the Western countries, people think, what's wrong with that? If you tell someone not to, why? What's wrong? Well, they may have some idea it's not hygienic. They may have that, yeah. But for deity worship, one should know all these things. And so then if we're going to actually introduce a class of brahmanas who are fit to worship the deities, then we should introduce all these things. And then we come to Varnashram. If people don't want to follow so many rules, then you can be a Shudra. You can chant Hare Krishna and follow less rules. But actually, the typical Shudras in India, those who are following in the Vedic culture, nowadays no one is. The only ones following trying to follow the original cultures are some brahmanas here and there. But they would also follow so many things. So for preaching, we may relax on various rules, but then if we're going to have a class of brahmanas and we're going to worship deities, then we should know these things and introduce them and follow them. Because they're given by Krishna. They have a purpose. They're not just whimsical that someone made them up, but Krishna gave them. Now I'm going to continue what I was discussing yesterday about Yukta Vairagya. So after a little shift of venue due to unexpected rain, I suppose there is some rule that you shouldn't get up and leave in the middle of a talk, but we broke the rule because we didn't want to get wet. Because we have to use these bodies for serving Krishna. So yesterday I was talking about various items mentioned in the Upadeshamrita, or various guidelines for our behavior. How we should apply this in our life. Yukta Vairagya Srila Prabhupada translates as proper renunciation. The word yukta can mean applied, just like joined together. So applied, you apply something, apply tilak on our forehead. So it's applied. So applying these things in our life. Sadvriti. That's one more, which I didn't cover yesterday. That means maintaining purity of conduct. Living our life in a pure way. Especially our means of livelihood should be not impure as far as possible. The doctor has to touch so many impure people and touch blood and pus and so many things, all impure. But that's allowed for a doctor. If a Brahmin does that, he becomes impure. But the doctor's profession is impure in and of itself, those who do surgery. So the kind of doctors who do surgery, or those who deal in blood, normally they wouldn't do deity worship or any such thing. But then they can do some purification. In the Goswami Vidhi, Srila Prabhupada talks about this, then they can do purificatory rites and then they can do. Now, talking about proper renunciation, how to renounce, what to renounce, there are some general guidelines. But although generally in devotional service, jnana vairagya yuktaya, in devotional service it should be with knowledge and renunciation, there are some things we shouldn't renounce. There are some things which we may not renounce, just like we may not renounce using motor vehicles if we are to use them in Krishna's service, or to live in this world in the modern day and practice devotional service. But there are some things which we should not renounce. For instance, we are enjoined to renounce the association of non-devotees. Asad Sangha Tyaga. Again, getting back to the Upadeshamrita, one of the items, Sangha Tyaga, Sato Vritti, Sangha Tyaga. We should give up the association of non-devotees. But we shouldn't give up the association of devotees if we think that it's too troublesome. See, hand on the mouth. Then hand on the bead bag. So if we think it's too troublesome associating with devotees, and there may be some trouble in associating with devotees or associating with anyone, but then if we think I'll just live alone and do my devotional practices, then one loses the opportunity of associating with devotees. We may think, well, the devotees are all very neophyte and this and that. Then we can't engage in Sankirtan, because Sankirtan means joining with others for chanting. So we should know what to do. We may keep a distance from devotees whose behavior is not proper, and Srila Prabhupada recommends that in his purport, one of his purports in the Nectar of Instruction, the Upadeshamrita. But just to give, I'm fed up, all devotees finished. You may leave Krishna, that practically means leaving Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness means to associate with devotees. So we shouldn't give up all association. Then if we see, we learn that love in this world, it's all false, and so we just decide, well, I'll only love Krishna. I love Krishna and I love Prabhupada, and I won't love anyone else. I'll have loving exchanges with pure devotees only. this loving exchanges is also there in Upadeshamrita. Dadati pratigrihnati. What's the next line? Guhyamakyati prichati. Bhunte bhojayate chaiva. Shadvirha priti lakshanam. The offering some gift to a devotee. And if one is offered something by a devotee, to accept it. To reveal one's minds in confidence and to listen to other devotees who may speak to us very confidentially. To give prasad for honoring food offered to Krishna, and to accept food offered to Krishna, offered by devotees. These are six exchanges of love. So if we think that, well, devotees, I'll only do it with pure devotees because I don't trust them. One shouldn't be so renounced. There's no love in this world. They're all mundane. All these people are mundane. I'm on a higher level. If we think like that, then we're in trouble. We should carefully choose our association, but we shouldn't be so strict that we just don't want to associate with anyone, or we think that we can only love highly elevated pure devotees. Srila Prabhupada loved his disciples. Even though they were weak and they fell away, many of them, but he was always willing to welcome them back. He didn't think that they're not fit to be loved, they're just a bunch of cats and dogs. Sometimes he would say, like in one purport, he said that those disciples who go away and they have illicit sex, they're just like monkeys. They prove Darwin's theory to be correct. So in one purport he says like that. But have you seen that? I think that's in the fifth canto. Yeah. Yeah. And then, but practically Srila Prabhupada, he loved them all. So we shouldn't be more. Well, maybe in some ways we should be more strict than Prabhupada, because Prabhupada can absorb the sinful reactions of the whole world by his powerful devotional service, and Srila Prabhupada is not affected by bad association. So in some ways maybe we should be more strict, but at the same time we should see the spirit of Srila Prabhupada and not be strict to the point that we may actually cause some offense to devotees. So it's exactly how to apply it that may require some intelligence. Yukta vairagya shtiti shab shikailo. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught what is the proper situation in yukta vairagya. And Shushka Vairagya Shabne Shedhilo. Shushka Vairagya Gyan Shabne Shedhilo. So, what to be followed, what not to be followed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Sanatana Goswami. That was actually Rupa Goswami who incorporated this teaching in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. As far as I know, that's not mentioned in Sanatana Goswami's works directly. Then Srila Prabhupada warned us about not jumping ahead of time or when we're not qualified into the higher levels of devotion. But we shouldn't think that another kind of false renunciation is to think that, well, then that's it, finished. No Vrindavan, no Raganuga, no. We have to remain neophytes forever. Externally, we may act as neophytes, but we should appreciate that we have to go to we're supposed to go to the spiritual world. We don't imitate, don't try to go when we're not ready. But at the same time, we may appreciate that there are devotees who are going there, and not think that everyone who's cultivating or such a mode. Of course, generally devotees will keep that, they won't announce it here and there, but we shouldn't think that anyone who's cultivating the mood of the following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, they're all sahajiyas. So that's another kind of misjudgment. It may be that some are, especially if they announce it here and there. Apana bhajana kata naha kahibo jata tota. That's the general rule, as taught to us by Narottam Das, that my internal matters of my bhajan, I won't announce it here and there. Although Narottam Das in his own songs does do so. But how much they were meant to be widely distributed, we don't know. But the specific details he didn't go into so much. And then, like the Mayavadis, if they think that everything which is beautiful is to be renounced because it's something very bad and will drag us down, that's also misunderstanding. Just like we can say this scenery is somewhat beautiful. If you think, no, we shan't enjoy it. If we think I'll enjoy it, then we're in Maya. But if we think Krishna has made so nice, if we see Krishna, that's the point, to see Krishna. Not the Shushka Vairagya is to renounce everything, thinking that everything is Maya. Well, it is Maya, but if we see Krishna, then Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, we find everything in the world is full of bliss. Some things that we should renounce and we may not renounce because we may have a personal attachment to it, so in the name of preaching we adopt it. Now, we find that Srila Prabhupada, even though most of his disciples came from the ranks of the hippies, Srila Prabhupada did not at all want his disciples to retain the attitude of hippies. Now, among the hippies there were several things which characterized hippie life. One was intoxication, especially by drugs. Not even so much alcohol as by marijuana, LSD, and this and that. So that's clear. And although devotees, they may have a problem they may fall into that. And the other thing was free sex. So clearly these things are to be given up. Although when devotees in the Western countries have difficulty, usually it's in the matter of sex and maybe drugs. Not much in the matter of meat and gambling. Most devotees, even before taking to Krishna consciousness, they didn't have that. So it's not a problem for them. Now, what's another big thing in hippie life? Rock music. So there may be attachment to rock music, but it's hellish music. So that also, we may say that, well, We're doing it for Krishna, but Krishna doesn't like rock music. He has his own style of music. So that can be another attachment, which this could be, surely some will strongly protest that rock music, no, we can use it for preaching. Well, maybe someone can use it for preaching. There was some group, Shelter, in the 1990s, was it, or 2000? They became quite prominent among a certain class of people, and they were openly devotees, but they were already established as rock musicians. So in that case, maybe it could be, but not that, okay, now I think I'll pick up my guitar and become a rock musician, and I've heard this several times. I'll become a famous rock star, then people will appreciate, and then I can, but these sheltered, they were already famous, and then they became devotees. So you can use that in Krishna service. It's like George Harrison. Prabhupada didn't tell him to stop being a musician. He said, you use your fame for spreading Krishna consciousness. But this idea that I will become a great musician and then I'll become famous. I mean, there in every street corner in Zagreb, you find young boys thinking I'll become a famous musician, isn't it? So, and this rock music, it may have its utility for some people for preaching, but it's not for our temples. Don't play it in the kitchen. So that's one thing. We shouldn't be attached to it. And even that shelter music, it's not that we bring people to Krishna consciousness and then they have rock concerts in the temple and they throw people off the stage in the temple and all this kind of thing, crowd surfing. That may serve as an introduction for people at a certain level, but it's the point is not to be brought into our devotional life. So sincerity is the key to not cheating in the name of Yukta Vairagya. One has to be sincere. And if we're not sure, then we should take guidance. And if we're not sure, it's better to be conservative. For instance, in the matter of rock music, if we're not sure, then just leave it. Because we don't need rock music to go back to Godhead. If we're not sure whether it's a good thing to introduce female Diksha Gurus in ISKCON, then leave it. It's not required. It's not been done for, well, they may cite it's been done in some sampradaya in Bengal, but not in our line. Then that becomes very controversial. Here's one thing. The Babaji's, they used to criticize Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He's driving a car in Vrindavan. Bogus. Stitched cloth. Bogus. But now you find some of the Babaji's in Radhakund, they have air conditioning. Then why are they Babaji's? Babaji means they're supposed to be living very simply. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's application of Yukta Vairagya was for preaching. And they criticized that. But now they're doing it themselves. But they don't have, the Yukta Vairagya idea was for preaching, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced. So what changed? They changed. So if you're going to be a Babaji, then you should be extremely simple, even using electric lights. Why? If you're going to be a Babaji, then be a Babaji. Just you use, be extremely simple. Otherwise, the idea in Babaji life, you're supposed to be Vairagya, very strong Vairagya. So if you're going to, then you do it. Then why, if you're going to be a Babaji, then why are you having air conditioning? You may say, well, it's 45 Celsius in Radhakund every day for 2-3 months. Okay, then you accept that. You're going to be a Babaji and live a Radhakund, then that's what you do. And then during the summer months, because it's so hot, you take 10 baths a day in Ratakunda. And in the winter, because it's so cold, you only take one bath a day. No, that's not Babaji life. That means if you're going to do it, you have to do it fully. Then you don't invoke Yukta Vairagya, because the idea is to just be aloof from the demands of the body. You're acting on the Paramahamsa platform. So then you have to do. If you're not on that platform, then come and join ISKCON or Gauriya Math and follow like this, where some allowance is there for the fact that we are not so advanced and we have to go gradually. But if you think that we're going to discuss about Radha Kund and all this kind of thing, it turns out Narottam Das, he reveals his mind that he reveals his mind in some of his songs, how he has the desire to take his female form and serve Radha and Krishna. They think, though, well, that's just neophyte stuff for the Babajis. For us, we're reading Gita Govinda, Ujjvala Nilamani, and all the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Okay, all right, you're so advanced, then why do you need an air conditioner? You already transcended the body. So, Yukta Vairagya it pervades everything we do in our life here in Krishna consciousness, because Srila Prabhupada, following his own guru, gave us this understanding, and we're able to live according to it. We're able to make progress in Krishna consciousness, step by step. So there's some concern. There's a lot more to be said about this, but I'll finish now. Now, there was some question. Oh, Patita Pavan wanted to ask a question, but he's not here, so he won't ask it on this topic. Actually, I can speak tomorrow morning about it also. There's a lot to be said about Yukta Vairagya. So we'll leave it. I have more to say. Yeah. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vanchakalpa Tarupyas Chakrabhas and the Vajra Padigana Padre Bhil Vaishnavi Bhil Namo Namaha.